Chapter 15. The Gray Man. Outside the Ammerlin Seat's study, Egwene and Nynaeve found the corridors empty except for an occasional serving woman, hurrying about her duties on soft-slippered feet. Egwene was grateful for their presence. The halls suddenly seemed like caverns, for all the tapestries and stonework. Dangerous caverns. Nynaeve strode along purposefully, tugging at her braid fitfully again, and Egwene hurried to keep up. She did not want to be left alone. "If the Black Aja is still here, Nynaeve, and if they even suspect what we're doing, I hope you didn't mean what you said about acting as if we are already bound by the Three Oaths. I don't intend to let them kill me, not if I can stop it by channeling." "If any of them are still here, Egwene, they will know what we are doing as soon as they see us." Despite what she was saying, Nynaeve sounded preoccupied. "Or at least they will see us as a threat, and that's much the same thing as far as what they will do." "How will they see us as a threat? Nobody is threatened by someone they can order about. Nobody is threatened by someone who has to scrub pots and turn the spits 3 times a day. That's why the Ammerlin is putting us to work in the kitchens. Part of the reason, anyway." "Perhaps the Ammerlin did not think it through," Nynaeve said absently. "Or perhaps she did, and means something different for us than what she claims. Think, Egwene. Leandrin would not have tried to put us out of the way unless she thought we were a threat to her. I can't imagine how or to what, but I cannot see how it could have changed either. If there are any Black Aja still here, they will surely see us the same way, whether they suspect what we're doing or not." Egwene swallowed. "I hadn't thought of that. Light, I wish I were invisible. Nynaeve, if they are still after us, I will risk being stilled before I let dark friends kill me, or maybe worse. And I won't believe you will let them take you either, no matter what you told the Ammerlin."
"I meant it."
For a moment, Nynaeve seemed to rouse from her thoughts. Her steps slowed. A pale-haired novice carrying a tray rushed past.
"I meant every word, Egwene," Nynaeve went on when the novice was out of hearing. "There are other ways to defend ourselves. If there were not, Aes Sedai would be killed every time they left the tower. We just have to reason those ways out and use them."
"I know several ways already, and so do you."
"They are dangerous."
Egwene opened her mouth to say they were only dangerous to whoever attacked her, but Nynaeve plowed on over her.
"You can come to like them too much. When I let out my anger at those white cloaks this morning, it felt too good. It is too dangerous."
She shivered and quickened her pace again, and Egwene had to step lively to catch up.
"You sound like Shiriam. You never have before. You have pushed every limit they've put on you. Why would you accept limits now, when we might have to ignore them to stay alive?"
"What good if it ends with us being put out of the tower? Stilled or not, what good then?"
Nynaeve's voice dropped as if she were speaking to herself.
"I can do it. I must if I'm to stay here long enough to learn, and I must learn if I'm to—"
Suddenly she seemed to realize she was speaking aloud. She shot a hard look at Egwene, and her voice firmed.
"Let me think. Please, be quiet and let me think."
Egwene held her tongue, but inside she bubbled with unasked questions. What special reason did Nynaeve have for wanting to learn more of what the White Tower could teach? What was it she wanted to do? Why was Nynaeve keeping it secret from her?
Secrets. We've learned to keep too many secrets since coming to the tower. The Ammerlin is keeping secrets from us, too. Light, what is she going to do about Matt?
Nynaeve accompanied her all the way back to the novice's quarters, not turning aside to the accepted's quarters. The galleries were still empty, and they met no one as they climbed the spiraling ramps. As they came up on Elaine's room, Nynaeve stopped, knocked once, and immediately opened the door and put her head inside. Then she was letting the white door swing shut and striding toward the next, Egwene's room.
"She isn't here yet," she said. "I need to talk to both of you."
Egwene caught her shoulders and pulled her to an abrupt halt.
"What?"
Something tugged at her hair, stung her ear. A black blur streaked in front of her face to clang against the wall, and in the next breath Nynaeve was bearing her to the gallery floor, behind the railing. Wide-eyed and sprawling, Egwene stared at what lay on the stone in front of her door, where it had fallen. A bolt from a crossbow. A few dark strands from her hair were tangled in the 4 heavy prongs, meant for punching through armor.
She raised a trembling hand to touch her ear, to touch the tiniest nick, damp with a bead of blood. If I had not stopped just then, if I hadn't, the quarrel would have gone right through her head, and would probably have killed Nynaeve, too.
"Blood and ashes," she gasped. "Blood and bloody ashes!"
"Watch your language," Nynaeve admonished, but her heart was not in it. She lay peering between the white stone balusters toward the far side of the galleries. A glow surrounded her, to Egwene's eyes. She had embraced Sayidar. Hastily, Egwene tried to reach out for the One Power, too, but at first, haste defeated her. Haste and images that kept intruding on the emptiness, images of her head being ripped apart like a rotten melon by a heavy quarrel that went on to bury itself in Nynaeve. She took a deep breath and tried again, and finally the rose floated in nothingness, open to the true source, and the power filled her. She rolled onto her stomach to peer through the railing beside Nynaeve.
"Do you see anything? Do you see him? I'll put a lightning bolt through him."
She could feel it building, pressing on her to loose it.
"It is a man, isn't it?"
She could not imagine a man coming into the novice's quarters, but it was impossible to picture a woman carrying a crossbow through the tower.
"I don't know."
Quiet anger filled Nynaeve's voice. Her anger was always at its worst when she grew quiet with it.
"I thought I saw... yes, there."
Egwene felt the power pulse in the other woman, and then Nynaeve was unhurriedly getting to her feet, brushing at her dress as if there were nothing more to worry about. Egwene stared at her.
"What? What did you do, Nynaeve?"
"Of the five powers," Nynaeve said in a lecturing tone, faintly mocking. "Air, sometimes called wind, is thought by many to be of the least use. This is far from true." She finished with a tight laugh. "I told you there were other ways to defend ourselves. I used air, to hold him with air. If it is a he, I could not see him clearly. A trick the Amarlin showed me once, though I doubt she expected me to see how it was done. Well, are you going to lie there all day?" Egwene scrambled up to hurry after her around the gallery. Before long, a man did come into sight around the curve, dressed in plain brown breeches and coat. He stood facing the other way, balanced on the ball of one foot, with the other hanging in mid-air as if he had been caught in the middle of running. The man would feel as if he were buried in thick jelly, yet it was nothing but air stiffened around him. Egwene remembered the Amarlin's trick, too, but she did not think she could duplicate it. Nynaeve only had to see a thing done once to know how to do it herself, when she could manage to channel it all, of course. They came closer, and Egwene's melding with the power vanished in shock. The hilt of a dagger stood out from the man's chest. His face sagged, and death had already filmed his half-closed eyes. He crumpled to the gallery floor as Nynaeve loosed the trap that had held him. He was an average-appearing man of average height and average build, with features so ordinary Egwene did not think she would have noticed him in a group of three. She only studied him a moment, though, before realizing that something was missing, a crossbow. She gave a start and looked about wildly.
"There had to be another one, Nynaeve. Somebody took the crossbow, and somebody stabbed him. He could be out there, ready to shoot at us again."
"Calm yourself," Nynaeve said, but she peered both ways along the gallery, jerking at her braid. "Just be calm and we will figure out what to—" Her words cut off at the sound of steps on the ramp leading up to their level. Egwene's heart pounded, seemingly in her throat. Eyes fastened on the head of the ramp, she desperately strove to touch Sayidar again, but for her that required calm, and her heartbeats shattered calm. Shiryam Sedai stopped at the top of the ramp, frowning at what she saw.
"What in the name of the light has happened here?"
She hurried forward, her serenity gone for once.
"We found him," Nynaeve said as the mistress of novices knelt beside the corpse.
Shiryam put a hand to the man's chest and jerked it back twice as fast, hissing. Steeling herself visibly, she touched him again and maintained the touch longer.
"Dead,"
she muttered, "as dead as it is possible to be and more." When she straightened, she pulled a handkerchief from her sleeve and wiped her fingers.
"You found him? Here? Like this?"
Egwene nodded, sure that if she spoke, Shiryam would hear the lie in her voice.
"We did," Nynaeve said firmly.
Shiryam shook her head.
"A man, A dead man at that in the novice's quarters would be scandal enough, but this...
What makes him different? Nynaeve asked. And how could he be more than dead?
Shiryam took a deep breath and gave them each a searching look.
He is one of the soulless, a gray man.
Absently, she wiped her fingers again, her eyes going back to the body, worried eyes.
The soulless? Egwene said, a tremor in her voice, at the same time that Nynaeve said, a gray man?
Shiryam glanced at them, a look as penetrating as it was brief.
Not a part of your studies yet, but you seem to have gone beyond the rules in a great many ways. And considering you found this...
She gestured to the corpse.
The soulless, the gray men, give up their souls to serve the Dark One as assassins. They are not really alive after that. Not quite dead, but not truly alive. And despite the name, some gray men are women. A very few. Even among Dark Friends, only a handful of women are stupid enough to make that sacrifice. You can look right at them and hardly notice them until it is too late. He was as much as dead while he walked. Now only my eyes tell me that what is lying there ever lived at all.
She gave them another long look.
No gray man has dared enter Tar Valon since the Trolloc Wars.
What will you do? Egwene asked. Shiryam's brows rose, and she quickly added,
If I may ask, Shiryam Sedai.
The Aes Sedai hesitated.
I suppose you may, since you had the bad luck to find him. It will be up to the Amyrlin seat, but with everything that has happened, I believe she will want to keep this as quiet as is possible. We do not need more rumors. You will speak of this to none but me, or to the Amyrlin, should she mention it first.
Yes, Aes Sedai, Egwene said fervently. Nynaeve's voice was cooler. Shiryam appeared to take their obedience for granted. She gave no sign of having heard them. Her attention was all on the dead man, the gray man, the soulless. There will be no hiding the fact that a man was killed here. The glow of the one power suddenly surrounded her, and just as abruptly, a long, low dome covered the body on the floor, grayish and so opaque that it was hard to see there was a body under it. But this will keep anyone else from touching him who can discover his nature. I must have this removed before the novices come back. Her tilted green eyes regarded them as if she had just remembered their presence.
You two go now. To your room, I think, Nynaeve.
Considering what you are already facing, if it became known you were involved in this, even on the edge of it, go. Egwene curtsied and tugged at Nynaeve's sleeve, but Nynaeve said,
Why did you come up here, Shiryam Sedai?
For a moment Shiryam looked startled, but on the instant she frowned. Fists on her hips, she regarded Nynaeve with all the firmness of her office. Does the Mistress of Novices now need an excuse for coming to the Novices' quarters, accept it? She said softly. Do accept it now, question Aes Sedai? The Amyrlin means to make something of you two, but whether she does or not, I will teach you manners at least. Now the pair of you go, before I haul you down to my study, and not for the appointment the Amyrlin seat has already set for you. A sudden thought came to Egwene.
Forgive me, Shiryam Sedai, she said quickly, but I must fetch my cloak. I feel cold.
She rushed away around the gallery before the Aes Sedai could speak. If Shiryam found that crossbow bolt in front of her door, there would be too many questions. No pretending they had only found the man, that he had no connection to her then. But when she reached the door to her room, the heavy bolt was gone. Only the jagged chip in the stone beside the door said it had ever been there. Egwene's skin crawled.
How could anyone take it without one of us seeing? Another gray man.
She had embraced Saidar before she knew it, only the sweet flow of the power inside her telling her what she had done. Even so, it was one of the hardest things she had ever done, opening that door and going into her room. There was no one there. She snatched the white cloak off its peg and ran out anyway, and she did not release Saidar until she was halfway back to the others. Something more had passed between the women while she was gone. Nynaeve was attempting to appear meek, and succeeding only in looking as if she had a sour stomach. Shiryam had her fists on her hips, and was tapping her foot irritably, and the stare she was giving Nynaeve, like green millstones ready to start grinding barley flour, took in Egwene equally. "Forgive me, Shiryam Sedai," she said hastily, dropping a curtsy and settling her cloak on her shoulders at the same time. "This finding a dead man, a gray man, it made me cold. If we may go now?"
At Shiryam's tight nod of dismissal, Nynaeve made a bare curtsy. Egwene seized her arm and hustled her away.
"Are you trying to make more trouble for us?" she demanded when they were two levels down, and safely out of earshot of Shiryam, she hoped. "What else did you say to her to make her glare like that? More questions, I suppose? I hope you learned something worth making her mad at us."
"She would not say anything," Nynaeve muttered. "We must ask questions if we are to do any good, Egwene. We will have to take a few chances, or we'll never learn anything."
Egwene sighed. "Well, be a little more circumspect."
From the set of Nynaeve's face, the other woman had no intention of going easy or avoiding risks. Egwene sighed again.
"The crossbow bolt was gone, Nynaeve. It must have been another gray man who took it."
"So that is why you..." "Light!" Nynaeve frowned and gave a sharp tug to her braid. After a time, Egwene said,
"What was that she did to cover the body?"
She did not want to think of it as a gray man. That reminded her there was another one out there. She did not want to think of anything at all right then.
"Air," Nynaeve replied. "She used air. A neat trick, and I think I see how to make something useful with it."
The use of the one power was divided into the five powers: earth, air, fire, water, and spirit. Different talents required different combinations of the five powers.
"I don't understand some of the ways the five powers are combined. Take healing. I can see why it requires spirit and maybe air, but why water?"
Nynaeve rounded on her. "What are you babbling about? Have you forgotten what we're doing?" She looked around. They had reached the accepted's quarters, a stack of galleries lower than the novices' quarters, surrounding a garden rather than a court. There was no one in sight except for another accepted, hurrying along on another level, but she lowered her voice. "Have you forgotten the Black Aja?"
"I'm trying to forget it," Egwene said fiercely. "For a little while, anyway. I am trying to forget that we just left a dead man. I'm trying to forget that he almost killed me, and that he has a companion who might try it again."
She touched her ear. The drop of blood had dried, but the nick still hurt.
"We are lucky we aren't both dead right now."
Nynaeve's face softened, but when she spoke, her voice held something of the time when she had been the wisdom of Emmons Field, saying words that had to be said for someone's own good. "Remember that body, Egwene. Remember that he tried to kill you, kill us. Remember the Black Aja. Remember them all the time. Because if you forget, just once, the next time it may be you lying dead."
"I know," Egwene sighed. "But I do not have to like it."
"Did you notice what Shiryam did not mention?"
"No, what?"
"She never wondered who stabbed him."
"Now come on. My room is just down here and you can put your feet up while we talk."